From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, June 12, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in New Orleans, Louisiana.
There was much excitement from the geospatial and technology realms this past Wednesday as Google shared a bit of the future of Google Maps. The consensus was that the press event was meant to preempt this week's expected mapping announcements from Apple at its Worldwide Developer Conference. We'll look between the lines to tease out just what Google was saying and to whom it was saying it. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Create high-quality 3D content from your existing GIS data with Esri City Engine. Download a free 30-day trial to begin today at esri.com/cityengine.
Now, Wednesday's event was, at least theoretically, described as a press-only, invitation-only discussion titled The Next Dimension of Google Maps. In point of fact, I found a live YouTube video production of it while it was happening. And more than one news outlet was live blogging it, so there was nothing particularly exclusive about this. The presentation basically included a recap of the history of Google's mapping efforts, and afterwards, three announcements of features that were coming soon. The first was the ability to save maps locally for use in Android devices when they were offline. The second was a new Street View rig that you could wear as a backpack and basically capture Street View type imagery while you were walking. And the third and most exciting was a new method to capture and create 3D models from overlapping aerial imagery. And that imagery will first appear in Google Earth and then later in Google Maps. So there was a general consensus of, that wasn't half as exciting as we expected it would be. What was your reaction as you looked over the announcements?
Let's take it from the context of who we are in the technology press, right? We cover geospatial technology. This, to the average geospatial technologist, is not really exciting. We've had 3D maps for years. To me, some of the things, the three features that you just mentioned, that maybe the more interesting one was the capability to capture more data with the backpack. And the only reason I say that is because it just introduces yet what I would call just another sensor. It's just another way to capture data. It perfectly fits into Google's focus on capturing more information at a local level to support their location-based applications.
Now, who was it Google was talking to? Why did they make this a press event, even though really anything that was said was immediately redistributed to the rest of the planet? Why did they hold this thing, and who were they really talking to?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because it really appeared that they only wanted the tech press, and the way they started the presentation by giving a history of maps kind of made it clear that obviously maps is not necessarily on everybody's radar screen every day like it is ours. So there was a need to get them up to speed that, hey, we're doing a whole lot here. And as Information Week pointed out, and I'll just quote a brief sentence here, the history lesson Google presented at its press event showing how far Google Maps and Google Earth have come and where they're going served to underscore just how much of a challenge Apple has taken on. Google Map services are used by over 1 billion monthly users every month. And for those keeping score, that's more than the number of monthly users on Facebook, end quote, from Information Week. So it really served to get everybody on the same page. Hey, look, this was a monumental challenge. Maybe this is not something you necessarily think about as what we do here at Google.
Right, and they did use this whole idea of when you do mapping, you have to look at how comprehensive it is, how accurate it is, and what kind of access to the data, what kind of usability do you have. And again, to those of us in the mapping space, not news. And in fact, those three terms, or ones very similar to them, are exactly the ones that we used when we talked about if anybody could ever compete with Navtech and Teleatlas, or as we call them today, Nokia and TomTom.
Mm-hmm.
right? And that was sort of this whole idea that they had done all this work and created all these systems that no one could ever touch them as data companies. And here was Google pretty much saying, and yet here we are and we've done it.
Right. I will say this, that whereas there's not necessarily a lot of wow factor here, I don't know if they could have said anything that would have wowed me. With the possible exception if they said that when they announced that they're flying certain cities to do this 3D model, if they had said something like, well, we're actually flying the cities and we're capturing LiDAR data, that would have gotten my attention. Because now all of a sudden you're talking about engineering spec. And it's the type of thing that when they first introduced Google Earth and all of a sudden we had worldwide imagery, that was a real wow factor. This layer of information provides, and I hate to use the word consumer, but it is more of a consumer layer. It's an interesting juxtaposition for me because I just got back from the Hexagon conference in Las Vegas, and here you have a company that's trying to model the world with engineering spec instrumentation, and they want to help their users do better in making big decisions in the real world. Well, here we are at Google, and it's kind of a level up, right? We're getting not so much high resolution data, although very good resolution for certain types of applications, in particular in the consumer space. To me, there is no difference anymore between the mobile and the enterprise space. These things are merging at a rapid pace, and Google is presenting another layer of data to support whoever. Consumer, engineers, business professionals, it doesn't matter. They're providing some very, very good information for apps that perhaps yet to be created, in my mind.
Right, and it's interesting you bring up LiDAR because one of our commenters on AllPoints blog looking at these announcements came back and said, well, if Google can make these 3D models, pretty good 3D models, just from this imagery, why bother with LiDAR? And the answer you just gave is because LiDAR is engineering spec, and this modeling, not quite.
Right.
So a fair question. The other thing I think that it's interesting to ask is what this presentation said about Google's priorities. Not so much about the consumer's priorities or the user's priorities or the developer's priorities, but Google's own priorities. This is an idea that came from one of our readers who just shot me an email as we were preparing for the podcast. And he suggested that really what's going on here is that Google is changing how it captures its 3D models. Because the old way was what? Have other people do it. They do it in SketchUp. They add it to the 3D warehouse, and we add it to Google Earth. It was crowdsourced. Well, we sold off that tool called SketchUp to the folks over at Trimble.
And now it has its own in-house way of creating those 3D models from these images. So all of a sudden, it doesn't need to do crowdsourcing to create the 3D models. It can do it on its own. And that's really a big change and talks about its priorities as a data capture organization.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's signaling the fact that they want a more complete data set, and flying the cities was the only way they were going to get it. The crowdsourcing way didn't really work for them, or it didn't give them as complete a data set as they would have preferred.
Or it's not fast enough.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or, as one of the technology publications pointed out, the datedness of the imagery, trying to keep up with current images of the area wasn't good enough for their purposes. I also think that in some ways it doesn't necessarily change their priorities to what they're going to do in the long term. In the short term, it certainly changed. They need a more complete data set. In the long term, it makes perfect sense to me that they went in this direction because what they're trying to do is really create a more robust platform for other LBS type of applications.
Well, and let's go down that path a little bit. So what does this say about how Google is matching its priorities to those of its users and its developers? And you just said they're collecting all this data to make these 3D models for more LBS applications.
Right. To me, we're going through an incremental phase development of more complete, better data and richness of application and experience, right? It's all about the user experience these days. And so in order to get to that point, there had to be a change in the way that either that the data was presented or collected. So here they're getting a lot better data, having more control over not just a platform, but the means by which the data is captured, both with the flyovers and then, of course, the backpack unit. So in the end, what they're providing to end users and developers as well is a much more robust platform to get that incremental improvement. So when you look at it with respect to what Apple will do, this is a defensive move, being more proactive in delivering a much more complete, much more accurate data set.
Okay, but what's the value of this data set? One of the technology publications, a fellow writing for Time, basically said, so, okay, better 3D, so what?
It's a good question, but it may be a little short-sighted. And here's why I think so. We as consumers are demanding an awful lot of better data, more timely data, and to me, this is an investment by Google. The payoff may be 5 years down the road. If you look 5 years ago, what they did with Google Earth, you're seeing the results of that investment now. More users, and of course, what that means for Google is a higher rate of advertising for them. So 5 years from now, we're going to be a much better educated community on how to use 3D modeling, 3D data in general. And whatever applications come out of that, we don't know. We're you know, at that stage where this is an investment. We hope it pays off. Google hopes it pays off. So we're not quite there yet. But you can envision that this modeled world is leading to something in the real world that we want. Whether you're sitting at your desk and you're looking at these 3D images, you'll get a much more complete picture. So whether you're the high-powered GIS specialist or whether you're the consumer walking down the street and you want better and more accurate directions, you know, those are things that are going to come out of this new investment.
Well, I think you make a really good point, and that's that the end product may or may not be these great 3D models. So what do I want as a consumer? I want to be routed to the best entrance to the Washington, D.C. Convention Center to go to the conference I want to go to. If these 3D models help Google to route me there, all the better. And if I'm driving a truck and I have to know where the loading dock is, and these models make it easier for, again, Google to route me there, all the better. But the 3D model in of itself, I don't care about. I care about getting to that exact entrance.
Yeah. I also look at it this way, that if you look at everything in context of what Google has done in the mapping space, creating the platform, getting more and better data, more high-resolution data, creating Google Earth Enterprise, their cloud solution, storing data in the cloud, they're providing elements and tools to general people. And to some degree, they're providing them to the geospatial technology community as well. But they're giving you a lot of options here for many different types of users. And I want to bring in a comment that I thought was very interesting. Last week, I had this conversation with Ula Roland, who's the CEO of Hexagon. And he was explaining a new service that they are hoping to get into for their users, which is capturing data on a project-specific basis. What he was saying was some projects may demand the need for we as a company to gather data for our clients and repackage that data. And he used the term data as a service specifically. And he even hinted, and he was very circumspect about this, he even thought that maybe some of this could be used for consumer applications. So and he said that in such a way that he says, now don't get scared by this comment. Now take it in juxtaposition to what Google is doing. They're capturing data for their clients. They're offering data as a service. Does give you the feeling that, first of all, data is king here, and that, again, this platform for their users, there's a need from their users to capture data in such a way that it can be regurgitated and used for different applications.
Well, let me move on to sort of the final big question, which is, what, if any, impact do these announcements have on the geospatial professional, the GIS professional? And I guess one thing that we really have to look at is, what does it mean that Google is going to be hiring its own fleet of planes to do all of this image capture? And, you know, what kind of return is it going to have? How up to date is the data going to be? I keep thinking back to years ago. Remember, Microsoft bought GeoTango,
right?
Which did some of the same kind of things with just a single image. You didn't need two images. You could make models from it. And, you know, certainly what Google is doing isn't brand new. People have been doing stuff like this, maybe not with this accuracy, maybe not as fully automated. But that's really not new. But why does it say that Google is going to be the big player, ideally capturing big chunks of important cities, and then who knows how much of the rest of the world? What does that say about what's going on within the geospatial professional side of things?
You raised Microsoft in there. Why did they buy Vexcel for a very high-resolution digital camera data capture? We haven't heard a lot from that part of the geo community either. You know, so I don't know if we should be so surprised that Google is out there capturing stereophotogrammetric information.
But how does it impact all of those companies that capture imagery that we're, you know, some cities and towns and oil companies and electric companies are using right now to capture data?
This is competition, right? And this is significant competition. And yet, it all depends on the quality of the data. So is Google going to release any of this data for use in those types of applications that we would like to do as geospatial professionals, urban planning, environmental monitoring? I don't know the answer to that. I'm just saying, is it good enough to do that? Or are we going to be allowed to get to that kind of data?
Well, that's all the time we have. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the ESRI Business Analyst Online app is available for download from Google Play. This free app gives retail and real estate professionals access to demographic and market data on Android smartphones. For more information and to download the app, visit esri.com/BAOAPP. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com or send us a tweet @directionsmag or leave a comment on directionsmag.com where this podcast is hosted.
And from us here at Directions, we've got some great webinars coming up, one by the OGC on open sensor web enablement, another by Esri on ArcGIS Online, and a third coming up from Pitney Bowes on reverse geocoding and social network apps. For more information, go to directionsmag.com/webinars.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.